Mike, I'm looking at this schedule. I'm smelling a good season. I'm smelling a very, very good season. I think we need to start right now trying to forecast what exactly is going to happen. Because like I said, I know exactly what's going to happen here. And you want to start week one against the Patriots? You want me to just tell you exactly what's going to happen right here?
All right, week one, Sunday, September 9th. 2018 against the New England Patriots. This is a situation in which Bill O'Brien has faced the Patriots, I think, off the top of my head, five times, and he has not beaten the Patriots one time. Last year, he came the closest. Last year, they should have won that game, and this year, we'll see week one in New England.
Hit it, Eddie. Leading up to this game, there was speculation about the status of the Patriots dynasty, and that only ramped up after this one. Deshaun Watson making his return from injury. Last season in New England, Watson threw for 301 yards and two touchdowns. This year, he does even better in the encore. Watson goes for 354 yards, four touchdowns, including one in our week one call of the game. Watson goes back to pass at the 35-yard line. Looks, he's in the grass. Oh, he got out. Watson looks down the sideline. He has Mark Andrews wide open at the 10-yard line. Watson to Andrews. Andrews to the 5. Touchdown, Houston Texans. Rock and roll, Houston. The Gronk cruise ship has shipped. Move over, Rob Gronkowski. There is a new pass-catching tight end in the NFL. Watson to Mark Andrews. That call courtesy of Perry Bethay on the McNair Radio Network. Texans win 42-27 to start the season 1-0. Up next, a game in Tennessee against their former defensive coordinator, Mike Vrabel. You want to go to Tennessee right now?
Mike Vrabel. So this is going to be week number two, Sunday, September 16th. This is a game in Nashville because of that Jay-Z Beyonce concert at NRG in week two, as Cody Stutes astutely pointed out. So based off your 1-0, they're in Tennessee week two.
All right, leading up to this game, there was a lot of drama from former Texans defensive coordinator Mike Vrabel. First, on Tuesday, he claimed there was a Titans pep rally downtown, despite the fact there was a Rascal Flatts concert downtown. Also, he called Bill O'Brien a crappy coach. Here's the quote from Mike Vrabel leading up to this game. Quote, that fatso couldn't coach his way out of a paper sack. If it weren't for Deshaun Watson, he'd be a quality control coach back in New England. Mike Vrabel gets the Gatorade bucket dumped on him. Texans fall to 1-1. Titans also 1-1. Titans win 31-17. After the game, Vrabel says Watson is a poor man's Jacoby Brissett. Bill O'Brien says, on to the Giants. I don't know. Bill O'Brien's just kind of shell-shocked from Mike Vrabel.
By the way, not to cut you off, if you're curious, Tennessee begins in Miami in week one, which should be a fairly winnable game for them. We don't even know who
they
Miami's
lost.
Quarterback.
I just told you they lost.
You did tell me they lost.
They got the Gatorade bucket. They are 1-1 heading into their game against the Giants. We'll hear more of that later.
Okay, so the Texans, under your hypotheticals, would be 1-1. They win in New England, people are fired up, but then they lose to the Tennessee because of an Arakpo strip sack.
Yeah, Malcolm Butler touchdown.
Well, listen, it's not like I can be confident enough in the offensive line to where I would dismiss that as a possibility. In the next segment, so a little bit into the second segment, with the Texans 1-1, we'll discuss what happens with the Giants' home game and the Colts' game on the road in week four. Landry is giving storylines and recaps of how every single game went. We are on to week three with the Texans at 1-1 facing the Giants in their first home game at NRG.
Sad week for the Houston Texans in heavy hearts as they find out that Perry Bethay, the great play-by-play voice, has passed away. They don't know what happened to him, but
was
Perry
he fired?
Bethay, he was fired. He disappeared, so he is no longer
there.
So the 1-1 Houston Texans in their home opener against the New York Giants, easy as 1-2-3. Deshaun Watson, two touchdowns, no turnovers. Deontay Foreman with 104 yards and two touchdowns on the ground. Texans score their first defensive TD of the season. Tyrann Mathieu with a pick six of Eli Manning. He takes it to the house.
That could happen.
Eli Manning looks very, very, very bad. Texans win 28-10 to improve the 2-1 heading into their week four matchup with the Colts.
We'll get a sense of where the Giants are, whether it's going to be Saquon Barkley, Bradley Chubb, somebody else. Maybe they do take a quarterback at number two. It does not sound that way, so it's likely going to be the combination of Eli Manning and Pat Shurmur week three at NRG.
And it was actually 35-10. I didn't even give Honey Badger credit for his touchdown.
Week
4, 2-1 Houston Texans. heading to Indianapolis. Maybe a little bit of forecasting there. Andrew Luck out for this one. He hasn't played all season, despite the fact Jim Irsay said he would. Luck on the sidelines watching, which means Texans killer Jacoby Brissett gets the start. Brissett 3-0 in his career against the Texans heading into this one. O'Brien early in the week says the Texans couldn't get where they wanted to be as a team until they showed they could beat Brissett, and the team responded. Defense forces four turnovers, including an interception by Aaron Colvin and a J.J. Watt strip sack. Texans offense also had it rolling. Watson finds Fuller on a long touchdown. Texans win 27-7. They improved to 3-1 on the season, heading into a game against the Dallas Cowboys in primetime next week at NRG.
And we will let you know how that Dallas game goes, according to Landry's mind, coming up at 7 o'clock this morning. We're going to go through all 16 games this morning and see how they go. I got to tell you real quick, the idea of the Honey Badger pick-sixing Eli Manning in Week 3 is a very appetizing option. All right, right now, we are doing Landry recaps of what happens, storylines in all these games. To recap so far, Landry has the Texans beating New England, losing to Tennessee on the road, thanks to a fumble return for a touchdown by Malcolm Butler, beating the Giants, beating the Colts on the road. So right now, Landry's got them at 3-1, setting up a titanic clash, Sunday Night Football at home against Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys in week number 5.
3-1 Texans versus the 2-2 Dallas Cowboys at a sold-out, packed, rowdy, drunk NRG. Ezekiel Elliott has his way with the Texans defense the majority of this game. He finishes with 147 yards and a touchdown. Cowboys leading 23-21 late in the game with 2 minutes remaining, but it was time for Deshaun Watson to do what he does. Watson, with 23 seconds left from the 17-yard line, goes back, pump fakes to DeAndre Hopkins, finds Mark Andrews in the end zone. Andrews with his fourth touchdown 5 weeks into the season, the rookie tight end out of Oklahoma making Brian Gain look smart. Texans win 28-23. They improved to 4-1. 5 weeks into the 2018 season.
What happened to Steven Anderson?
Steven Anderson is cut.
He's cut?
He's cut.
I think the Cowboys, why do people think the Cowboys are going to be so bad this year? Why are they so convinced?
They're not factoring in that Zeke Elliott missed 6 games last year, wasn't in shape when he came in during the season because of everything going on, and by the time he came back, their season was basically over, so I think they're going to commit more to the run game. I don't know that they're going to be – they're not going to be, like, as good as they were 2 years ago. And I think Dak Prescott takes a step back. But Zeke Elliott is, in my opinion, the best running back in the NFL. I know Le'Veon Bell's
– I would go
more,
with Bell, but it's close.
He's more complete. But I think when you're just running between the tackles and smashing people with that Cowboys O-line, I think Zeke Elliott's going to come back angry. Hate to bring it to fantasy football, but Zeke Elliott's my number one pick.
Okay, Zeke Elliott's the number one pick. All right, so you have a close game and a Texans come-from-behind win in week number 5. That's 4-1, which sets up a home date against the Buffalo Bills. A texter felt like Bills Mafia will not show up here. There'll be some Bills fans. There are Bills bars around town, actually.
By the way, there's also a bet. You have to do body paint if
the Jets take Josh Allen number 3.
Paul Gallant has to get thrown through a table in the Buffalo game if the Texans start out 3-1. So we've him on the record yesterday. Tallboy Thursday, every Thursday I'm with Paul Gallant. He has to go through a table if they start out 3-1. And according to my calculations, they are. And they are actually 4-1 heading into week 6 against the Buffalo Bills. Fun time in the parking lot. I don't care what the texter says. AJ McCarron actually got hurt in week 3, so he's out for this one.
So he's out. So it's probably a rookie quarterback or Nathan Peterman.
Yeah, it's going to be Mason Rudolph from Oklahoma State getting the start for the Buffalo Bills.
Okay, I can roll with that.
Fun time in the parking lot for Bills fans. A few of them traveled just for YouTube purposes, so there's a lot of drinking in the parking lot. However, not fun on the field for the Buffalo Bills. They remain winless. Buffalo Bills winless 6 weeks into the season. The Texans improved to 5-1 with a 24-14 win over Buffalo. The score closer than the actual game itself. Brian Gain in the locker room after the game, he gets presented with the game ball for beating his former Buffalo Bills team. Texans 5-1 on the season. Brian Gain looking smart. Up next, a game in Jacksonville against the defending division champion Jacksonville Jaguars. However, Jacksonville 3-3 on the season, and they're desperate for a win against the 5-1 Texans. So stay tuned. What time are we going to do this Jacksonville game?
7:40.
7:40 will tell you if the Texans can put the nail in the coffin on the Jacksonville Jaguars early in the season. It's been a rough start for Blake Bortles and company. They need a win. Texans heading into Jacksonville, 5-1.
The Landry recaps of the Texans season. So far, he's got them at 5-1. Wins against the Patriots, the Giants, the Colts, the Cowboys, and the Buffalo Bills, which now leads us to Sunday, October 21st. The Texans were demolished by the Jaguars not once, but twice in 2017. This is a chance for revenge on the road in Jacksonville on October 21st.
Last week, Brian Gain got the ball against his former team, the Buffalo Bills. Aaron Colvin, they're hoping, can get one against the Jaguars. However, the 5-1 Houston Texans taking on the 3-3 Jacksonville Jaguars. Things do not go according to plan. Jacksonville needed this one, and they got it. Deshaun Watson turns over the ball four times, three interceptions, and a lost fumble. Jacksonville keeps their division hopes alive. Texans miss an opportunity to put a nail in the coffin. 24-10 Jacksonville, but that's not the main story. Following the game, Aaron Colvin questions the Texans' toughness. He says that if this is a team that wants to get where they want to go, they need to show some coconuts like the team they just got their butt kicked by the Jacksonville Jaguars. So Aaron Colvin calling out the Houston Texans following the loss to the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Unpopular opinion alert. I am going to have the Texans going 0-2 against Jacksonville until the moment where I have any confidence in the offensive line. That was a bad matchup in 2017. They beat up the Texans offensively, and they beat them up defensively. They have a good offensive line that got better with Norwell. And right now, you look at what they have up front. I know Campbell's getting older. With Jackson, with Ngakoue, with Telvin Smith, Miles Jack, they have a better front seven than you have in offensive line.
But they have Blake Bortles.
They have Blake Bortles, and you have Deshaun Watson. Maybe it makes up for it. But as of now, I'll have the Texans, especially based on when and where they play Jacksonville, going 0-2.
Well, they're 0-1 so far. Would the team respond to Aaron Colvin? We'll find out week 8 against Miami. This is a Thursday night game, so a quick turnaround for the Houston Texans. Not much doubt in this one. Texans improved to 6-2 on the season with a 31-13 win over Miami. J.D. Clowney with the touchdown in the win. DeAndre Hopkins, he scores the other three touchdowns. Texans 6-2 halfway through the season, heading into a matchup with the Denver Broncos and Case Keenum.
It's Sunday, November 4th. It is week number 9, and the Texans are in Denver facing Case Keenum and the Broncos.
Texans 6-2 on the season, facing a revived Denver defense and a 5-3 team led by, you guessed it, Case Keenum. Keenumites in full force throughout the week. The phone lines were blowing up. It resulted in us blocking calls for the entire week of Mad Radio on Sports Radio 610. Unfortunately, Mike Meltzer's worst nightmare becomes a reality. Texans fall 24-20. Deshaun Watson strip-sacked by Von Miller to ice the game. Keenum manages the game for Denver, throwing for 174 yards and two touchdowns. Following the game, Gary Kubiak handed the ball to Case Keenum. Keenumites in full force. They're blowing up Mike Meltzer's mention, which leads to Meltzer calling in sick for the next day at work. Texans 6-3 on the season heading into the bye.
Right now, this is against the
Redskins. I'm really curious here.
Yeah, did they last play the Redskins
6-3
in the overtime game when they came back and won?
No, they played them here in the opener in 2014,
yes.
But at Washington,
at
yes.
Washington.
Overtime game 2010, Donovan McNabb and Matt Schaub. It was a thriller. Andre Johnson, the Muhammad Ali pick, Sonny Liston, that amazing moment.
6-3 Texans heading into week 11 against the Washington Redskins. This is a big game for Whitney Merciless and J.J. Watt because they get a chance to erase some demons. The last time Alex Smith was the opposing quarterback, we remember that night on national TV. Yes, it was national TV.
National TV, Mike Meltzer, prime time.
Against the Kansas City Chiefs. Watt carted off. Whitney's season also ends. However, the Houston Texans validate that. They win 27-7. Alex Smith strip-sacked by both Watt and Merciless along the way. Mark Andrews with another TD, his fifth touchdown of the season. Houston Texans 7-3 heading in to a rematch with Mike Vrabel, who has continued to fire shots at Bill O'Brien from Tennessee.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm very annoyed, by the way. We're going through the schedule. Landry's doing storylines, recaps, quotes, and more. He's got the Texans right now 7-3. as we go into a home game against the hated Mike Vrabel and the Tennessee Titans. I think this is a few days after Thanksgiving on Monday, November 26th, on Monday Night Football.
Yeah, war of words continued between Mike Vrabel and Bill O'Brien. Last time these two teams met, Vrabel called O'Brien a fat hack and even got a Gatorade bath following the Titans' win over the Texans. This week, O'Brien didn't bite his tongue. He said, given what Mike Vrabel did as our defensive coordinator last year, he's the fat hack. As a matter of fact, he might actually have some man boobs. This time, the Texans, they would have victory. Texans, 1-2 record in the division, not anymore. They even their division record to 2-2. It's deja vu for the Texans at home against the Titans. Last time they faced the Titans, they won 57-14. This time, not so ugly. They only win 43-14. Watson with 3 touchdowns in the air, 1 on the ground. Dylan Cole with another pick 6 in this game, just like he did last time these two teams met at home. After the game, no handshake at midfield between Bill O'Brien and Mike Vrabel. That's all anyone wanted to talk about after. But the only thing that matters, your Houston Texans, now 8-3, heading into a matchup with the Cleveland Browns on December 2nd.
I like 8-3.
From a content standpoint, it's good to have Vrabel in this division. And it is good, even though I'm annoyed by it, for all those people in Nashville to buy into Vrabel.
You know how stuff you say on the radio just gets blown out of proportion, right? So somebody's listening in like West U and Bel Air, wherever Vrabel lives.
They're not happy.
What is this feud you have with O'Brien? You know, he called you a fat hack with man boobs. You know, like, that's going to get out. It's going to get back to him. And it's going to actually start the feud.
Johnny, that would be one of the greatest moments.
Johnny and Friendswood walks into the break room and is stirring his coffee. Did you hear that Bill O'Brien said that Mike Vrabel has man boobs?
Oh, yeah, he just lit the fuse. So it's life imitating art.
If Landry created a feud between O'Brien and Vrabel, that would be one of the top 2 or 3 moments of your life.
Put that in your book.
Yeah, without question. So 8-3 after Tennessee, which leads to a showdown the following week, Sunday, December 2nd, against either Sam Darnold or Josh Allen or Tyrod Taylor and Myles Garrett and maybe Hugh Jackson and your Cleveland Browns.
Sunday, December 2nd, the 8-3 Houston Texans hosting the Cleveland Browns. Texans, not so much trouble in this one. They have a 35-7 lead at the half, which means there was an opportunity for things to get personal. Brandon Whedon, the former number one pick in Cleveland, gets some reps. He throws 2 touchdowns. On the final touchdown, a strike to Will Fuller down the sidelines. He runs down the sidelines, pointing to the Cleveland Browns bench. Texans win 52-28, 9-3 on the season, heading into a matchup Sunday, December 9th, against the Indianapolis Colts.
I mean, this game should be a win without knowing really anything. I think Cleveland will be better this season, but I was baffled that Hugh Jackson kept his job there for last season, and they're going to have a more talented roster. I think the Texans should win this game, though.
They were so close in so many games last year.
They were.
They would blow it. Something weird would happen. They were playing a rookie quarterback. It's tough, especially without enough talent around him. I do think they're a better team. They're a better team than 0-16, guys, so we'll see.
Right now, Landry Locker, who is in for Seth Payne this morning. Wade Smith is in, as he is always in the 9 o'clock hour on Fridays. Landry has the Texans right now in 9-3. The losses being against Tennessee, Jacksonville, and at Denver as well. Right now, speaking of the Colts, we are at the Colts at home Sunday, December 9th, to begin 4 games in December.
9-3 Houston Texans versus the Indianapolis Colts. Leading up to this game, a little bit of controversy. Bob McNair says that Andrew Luck is the quarterback that he always wanted. This results in headlines, lots of distractions, lots of stuff going on. Meanwhile, Andrew Luck takes the field. He's back at it again. He's back in action. Luck, during his media session, cited former offensive lineman Wade Smith talking smack about him along with fill-in host Landry Locker on Mad Radio. Luck takes that motivation to the field. He leads the Colts to a 31-19 victory over the Houston Texans. The Texans, 9-4, first place in the AFC South, despite now a losing record in the division.
So a loss to Indianapolis as Luck comes in. The McNair thing is really funny.
That's hilarious. Like, even though he has Deshaun Watson and he's 9-4, and he's got
just can't
one
keep
of the
it
best
shut.
Year quarterbacks in the league, he's like, the guy I really wanted was Andrew Luck.
He just couldn't keep it shut.
So now we transition to the next game. Again, Saturday game against the Jets. I consider this not a national TV game. I consider this not a primetime game. It will be on national TV on the NFL Network. Texans 9-4.
Don't let your semantics get in the way of the Texans getting back in the win column, which is exactly what they do at New York against the Jets. Never any doubt in this one. The Texans, the first shutout of the season. Romeo Crennel leads the defense. The Honey Badger with an interception. Aaron Colvin with an interception. J.J. Watt, his first multi-sack game of the season. The Texans win 38-0 over the Jets to improve to 10-4 heading into a matchup against the Philadelphia Eagles in what many people consider a potential Super Bowl preview.
And we'll let you know what happens in that game coming up at 9:40. We have been doing all morning long, starting at 6 o'clock, Landry's recaps and commentary, storylines, quotes from these games. Landry's got the Texans at 10-4. They have two games left, at the defending Super Bowl champion Eagles and finishing up against the Jacksonville Jaguars on December 30th. We'll start in week number 16 in Philadelphia in the city of brotherly love.
10-4 Houston Texans going to take on the Eagles, who are 9-5. A lot of people calling this a potential Super Bowl matchup in the NFL. Carson Wentz, however, outduels Deshaun Watson in a high-scoring game. The Eagles win 38-35. However, not all bad news for the Houston Texans. Deontay Foreman surpasses 1,200 yards rushing on the season in the game and scores 3 touchdowns. However, while walking off the field, Foreman is struck by a battery in the head. He then goes in the stands and knocks out an Eagles fan on camera, which leads to uncertainty about the status of Deontay Foreman heading into Week 17 against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Good day and not so good day for Deontay Foreman and the Houston Texans. At the postgame press conference, Eagles coach Doug Peterson said, quote, and this is exactly what was above the Houston Chronicle the next day. This was the headline on the front page of the Houston Chronicle in a feature story from John McClain. Quote, we'll see these guys again this season.
Wow. All right. That would be the headline in the Chronicle that next morning. That would be the headline. I like it. I feel like Foreman would probably get at least a one-game suspension for that kind of act, if not more.
And you are right, which brings us to Week 17. Deontay Foreman gets a one-game suspension, so the Texans will be without Foreman Week 17 heading into a matchup against the Jacksonville Jaguars, the same Jacksonville team that embarrassed the Texans earlier in the season, which led to Aaron Colvin questioning the team's toughness. Leading up to the game, Aaron Colvin called this a must-win despite the fact the Texans had clinched a playoff spot. Jacksonville 8-7. A win would put them in the playoff picture, but not necessarily guarantee them a spot in the playoffs. Texans answer the call from Aaron Colvin. Texans top the Jaguars 31-3. Your Houston Texans 11-5 on the season, heading into the postseason with a first round bye, awaiting what happens during wild card weekend. So your Houston Texans finished the season 11-5. We saw all kinds of drama this season, but the Texans finished the season 11-5.